Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Diana Deeney.
Hey, Diana. One of the things I hear, and we're recording this the first week of the year, and one of the things I heard in the news is it's the amount of returns, the reverse logistics story of all this stuff that's been gifted from one person to another or whatever reason, and it's just the random size, they don't want it, they're going to trade it in for something else. The amount of stuff going back to the stores was like close to 20% of all purchases.
And wow.
I was like, that's a lot.
I stay away from those stores usually on the day after, because that's when everybody's going out to do exchanges and returns, and there's big line. There was even a big line at Costco.
Oh, wow.
For returns. And yeah, so I did go to Costco the day after, but wasn't expecting a big line for returns on stuff from Costco. That was weird.
People taking back, you know, the rotisserie chicken or something.
I know. That was strange. Well, you know, the other thing, I'm not surprised to hear this, because I've also seen videos where people will buy a lot. So it's a pallet with a huge box or mm-hmm. two of returned product. Right. And it's an unwrapping ceremony for them for like 40 minutes. These YouTube people are unwrapping or like cutting open whatever was in this return box, because a lot of times it's just not used or lightly used, mm-hmm. Or it went to the wrong place and it's unopened. And
it could be an iPhone or a bunch of t-shirts.
Yeah, there's a whole aftermarket of stuff that just got returned. So yeah, that is a big thing around the holidays.
Well, it is. What it made me think of is that, you know, when we're, you know, thinking about another person, and it's part of it is thinking about what's their expectation. What would they like is a way we often phrase it. What do they need, or what would they like? What would be good for them, or stuff like that? And I think at some point my parents looked at me and bought me a microscope, you know, and I didn't know I needed a microscope, but I sure enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Bugs are cool when you get up close to them.
I had one when I was a kid too. I still have it.
Oh, wow. I wish I knew where mine was. But anyway, the idea is that there's an expectation. You know, in product development, we often talk about customer's expectation, especially with reliability. We need to meet or exceed the customer's expectation is the way I've heard it phrased in so many places. And the idea is when we have to answer the question, well, how long should this work? Well, that's almost entirely dictated by a customer's expectation. You know, if we come out with a new phone, tablet, or whatever things, handheld electronic device to connect to the world kind of thing, and it only works for 3 months and that's it, I think it would be a non-starter, even though it had all the greatest features in the world. Because the expectation is, and our experience with the various systems that are available now, is they'll last years. And I think Dr. Kirk, I think he still has an iPhone 6, I think. So decades.
Oh, I'm an Android user. What are the Apples up to now? Like 22?
17. So it's at least 11 years, at least 11. And sometimes I think they cheat. They had a year where it was X and they skipped a year and stuff like that.
Have you seen the meme where the man like found a flip phone, and I think it was a Nokia flip phone, mm-hmm. in the bottom of a drawer somewhere? It had been sitting there for like 15 years. Yeah. And he just flipped it open and turned it on. And it worked.
Yeah. No, it's that the... I was in a harbor. We're getting ready to swim for a triathlon, and you know, we're getting warmed up, and the water was really, really clear, and it's maybe 10 feet deep where we were, and you could see a phone, and it was like a flip phone or what was the one with the keyboard on it?
The BlackBerry.
I think it was a BlackBerry, and so somebody said, "Oh, I can get that," and he dove down, picked it up, held it up and said, hey, it's still working. And I, yeah, right. And it wasn't. But it was in really nice shape. It was probably dropped over the boat, you know, not that long ago. It wasn't all barnacled up and everything else. It looked like a phone. And so he put it in the trash on the way back out. But the part of the hardest thing that we do in reliability is set that stone or set that requirement, if for the lack of a better word, it could be an expectation, you know, it could be a guideline, a requirement, a consideration, whatever, is how long should the phone last? How long should this product last? And the most common thing I hear from companies is, well, the warranty is only a year, so it has to work for a year.
Oh, but that's like, no.
Why do you say that? Yeah, why do you say that? How do you explain it? If I'm saying, no, the warranty is a year. That's all we're designing for.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just think of yourself as a consumer. You have something and then, you know, it lasts for a year and then a year and 15 days into it, it breaks and you call the company and you're like, hey, is this broken? They're like, well, too bad. It's beyond the warranty. You just feel, I understand business and everything, but that kind of situation is angering. Is that a word?
It's frustrating to a customer. Yes. Because, and it's not because it failed. It was designed to only last that long, and they wasn't robust to last much longer than that. And it wasn't like it has a time machine in it or a device in it that's right. gonna force it to fail. It was the design intent was it needs to last a year. And so anything beyond that is extra. And marketing guys say, we can't sell a product to somebody that has a working one. You know, so it's
right.
That's
right.
Part of our business. And the trouble is that if that's, say, a washing machine, right, or a dishwasher, a white appliance, that would anger somebody because it's a big deal. It takes, a bunch of effort to move it in and out and get it in place. And it's a changeover. You got why am I throwing away this massive chunk of metal and electronics and all this equipment and it only lasted a year? That just doesn't make sense. But the original ones were my grandmother. I use this story all the time. My grandmother had a cast iron washing machine. It was bolted to the floor. It was like an industrial type looking device. And it was small. It was for washing clothes at home and sheets and stuff like that. It had an on-off switch. You turn it on, it agitated. You turn it off, it stopped agitating. I think it had another button for spin cycle. And I'm not even sure it did. I think it only had one switch. She had it for 50 years.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that story to a guy I was sitting next to at a conference, and he was from Whirlpool or one of the white appliance type companies. And he goes, well, that's just bad for business. And they did a study, and I found a paper a couple months ago, and Enrico and I were talking about it, that went through all kinds of different categories of products of what's the customer's expected lifetime. And white appliances is 10 years. Now, Apple would just... you know, wouldn't have been in business, wouldn't have made as much money, same as Samsung and Google, all the other phone manufacturers, if we'd only bought a new phone once every 10 years. They'd only have a tenth of their sales, for example.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yet some people hang onto their phone and maybe replace the battery, which is way less expensive than buying a new phone. And if it does what they want it to do, it works just fine. The electronics will just keep working, by and large. But the tricky part is that different industries, different types of product sets get established in this fuzzy, shadowy, weird way that's part marketing, it's part how much it costs, it's part... you know, how integral is it to my factory? If this motor fails, the line goes down and we have to scrap everything kind of thing for, and it takes us weeks to get back up and running. That motor better just run. And we'll do maintenance. We'll do all this other stuff. We'll even have a backup system in place. We'll spend a lot of money to make sure that it works. Where if it's a sensor on that to tell you whether it's spinning the right way or not, and nobody ever, it never spins backwards. If that fails, nobody would even notice. So I'm trying to explain it is that it's not like you decide you're going to design a washing machine and there's a rule someplace that says it's 10 years. No, that's evolved over time in mass. Now, some people want it to last 50 years. Some people really are going to change it every year anyway because they're moving and they don't care about their washing machine. It stays with the house. They're going to buy a new house and it has a new washing machine.
Yeah, it all gets down to the impact of that failure on the customer, not so much the failure itself.
Yeah.
Or well, that, that it broke. It's really the impact on the customer. Well, like you mentioned, like the engine in a factory that has to run. And now the impact of that, if that motor stops working, is going to be astronomical to the factory because they can't make their product. Their whole line is shut down.
Right.
So that motor has to demonstrate a high reliability. And same with, something small and chintzy. There's a perception there, right, with customers. If this breaks, all right, it's not a big deal. I kind of expected it to break and then I can replace it. But like you said, if there's an investment in a large piece of like a dishwasher or something, there's an expectation to that. And the impact when it does break can be really detrimental because of the waste aspect of it. Maybe the customer doesn't like the idea of the waste and adding to the landfill.
Well, and also just the time of dealing with it.
That's right. The time of dealing with it, of finding somebody to come in and either repair it or go out and shop for a new one. So those kind of events are really disruptive and the impact to the customer is really high. So I think not just like the warranty or the cost for repair, companies need to take into consideration the impact on the customer when it does fail. And that could depend on what about it fails. Now, I have a dishwasher, and in the time that we've been podcasting, I've had one leak on me, and I used Google to figure out what was the problem, and it was a whole big deal. It takes time, and now that new dishwasher now though, the handle underneath it, where the handle screws onto the front of the door. Like the bottom plastic part of it broke off.
Huh.
That stinks, but the handle's still attached. And nobody can see it. So that's disappointing, but I don't really care. So <That's right. laughs> that part of the dishwasher failed, but the other parts of it that are preventing it from leaking are not failing and it's washing my dishes just fine. So yeah, not all failures are equal in the eyes of the customer and the impact that it brings. And a lot of times I think that's what's missing in the setting of reliability measures.
And in talking to a program manager once about it, he says, we have a vague idea of who our customers are. And the marketing team, had categories from five different groups as heavy users, light users, infrequent users, stuff like that. And kind of painted a day in the life of each of those products for those different types of use cases, but also had how long they expect it to work. And so they were different. And they cautioned that even within the group, if it's heavy users and there's a conference for heavy users and you asked all those people, what do you expect it to do and how long do you expect it to do? You would get a wide array of answers. There would be some people said it should last forever. And others are saying, I only need it to work for a year and I get my value out of it and I'll get a new one. And they're just fine with that. And so the expectations is not fixed anywhere. There's general expectations. And I think you hit it on the head, Diana, is that it's what's the impact to the person? Now, and that made me think of, I was looking at my desk, there's a chintzy, I think that word, a cheap ballpoint pen that I got as swag at a conference years ago from a reliability consulting group. I thought, oh, okay, they're giving away pens. Cool, I could use a pen. It worked 3 days.
I have a similar story. I was at a conference for mechanical engineers, and they were giving away water bottles. And it was a steel water bottle, metal one.
Okay.
And, you know, it's dropped, but, you know, it bounces. It's fine. And just yesterday, I'm at the gym, and I'm noticing, like, my water bottle's leaving a puddle of water everywhere I go.
Oh, no.
And here it was, there's like a pinhole leak 2 inches up from the bottom on the side from my mechanical engineering conference. And it's got like, it's got their, you know, their initials printed right on the side. And yeah. I told my kids about it. They're like, oh, well, that's embarrassing. So it's just like your reliability conference pen lasting 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. But it's, if you're going to give away something and you're promoting, you know, durable products, or you want it, your brand image is that it's rock solid, or, you know, trust me, and all those kind of things, at least make it a pen that works.
Or a water bottle that doesn't leak.
Yeah. You know,
in a weird way. Yeah.
Yeah. You can buy cheap swag all day long, and think of the cost of it failing to your reputation, because your brand is on it. It's, you know, Ford's got their logo on vehicles, so they don't make everything in there, yet they're the one that takes the hit when a carburetor fails, if we even use carburetors anymore. you know what I mean? It's the, there is a perception of blame or a notch down in your reputation when it fails before you expect it to. And there's some things that fail, and like, well, I got my money's worth out of that. And you move on, you do something new. The other part, which complicates it, I think, to a great deal, is I'm thinking of the early vehicles and early cars or phones, stuff like that, is they were advancing technologically, I think that's how it's pronounced, must-have features, new breakthrough capability, new speeds, new safety, new whatever. And it wasn't unheard of to buy a new car every couple of years. My dad did every year, and it was a business car for him. And so he had a new car every year, and it had better air conditioning. It had power windows. I remember playing with that until they broke. He didn't like that. And just it was... In phones, they had bigger, better cameras, but the difference between a 56 megapixel camera and a 58 megapixel camera is not enough for me to go buy a new phone. And so it slowed down, but the expectations also get influenced by what's cool, what must I have, this can connect at 5G now, I need that, and for whatever reason.
Yeah, those new features, those new attractive features, like if they're present and they're not really anywhere else, if they're new, then yeah, everybody wants it. But then there's a time aspect to that, I think, is what you're saying, is that after a while, that new shiny thing it just becomes standard and people expect it.
Right.
In which case, the expectations for how long it's going to work also change.
And I think we're seeing that in automobiles over the last decade, is they're adding more and more computers and touch screens and computerization all through the systems. I didn't know it existed until yesterday. It was that shock absorbers now anticipate the load and counter. It's sort of like noise canceling headsets. There's a computer system on there, kind of. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's not just dampening the shock. It's anticipating and countering the shock.
Really?
Yeah. And like, well, that sounds, and I was.
So for the smoothest ride on the bumpiest roads, is that what they're going for?
Yeah, or something like that. And I'm like, you know, you're driving fancier cars than I am, that's for sure.
I don't have that on my card.
Me either. But the adding in of all this electronics, and it's another race of feature sets they have in the systems, that it's not a great environment to put computers. And the car dealers are learning that. It's when audio systems went from analog to more digital systems, they had a lot of problems with it. It's just, and then it got hardened and they used auto, you know, military grade components or automotive grade components to do it and stuff. But they're learning the hard way again with all the extra computerization they're putting in. You can, you know, the shocks and the steering and all that stuff is working great, but the computer systems controlling them all are now failing. And so the expectation is a setback. It's not meeting my expectation. Why am I taking this 2-year-old car in to get a computer chip replaced? This should not be happening.
Yeah. Or I've also seen, I rented some cars last year for travel, mm-hmm. and I've seen where they're adding new features like the lane assist and that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but they're not, I guess they're trying to keep up with what other car manufacturers are introducing, but the implementation of it just isn't good. Like the one that I was driving, like, I was testing it out a little bit, but it would hit a curve and I keep my hands lightly on the wheel, mm-hmm. and it would just, do you remember those servo motors? Like when you first started playing around with electronics,
how it would jerk
around the, yeah, it was sort of like it was on that. It just wasn't, like, I'd rather have a car without it than deal with that thing. Yeah. So sometimes chasing the shiny new thing just to have it and it not being implemented well is not good either.
That's right. And it, because the expectation is that I'm spending, I think the average price for a car now, a new car, is like $50,000.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
New ones used ones too.
Yeah. And the idea is that that's a big investment. It better last a while. And I think the price point is a part of it. The technology and the value it provides is a piece of it. It's the impact of the failure to the person or the company. That's a factor of it. It's the end of it all is it's variable and it's a guess. And you can do studies, you can do all kinds of different stuff on it. But if the majority of your customers find that it's failing too soon, your brand will take a hit and they will not repurchase your product. And that's the bottom line of it, is that understanding, even as vague and as squishy as it is understanding your customers' expectations and meeting or exceeding those is critical for resale, for them to come back and buy your next product. And it might be in 10 years, yet they won't come back if they have a really bad experience with your brand.
And then even, you know, thinking about when it fails, considering the impact on your customer when it does. Mm-hmm. So we're speaking about automobiles. My husband has a Jeep and loves it because mm-hmm. if anything breaks, he just, you know, orders something and it's everything's pick and place. You can just swap it out really quickly. Whereas some of the other cars that I've driven, I needed to take it in the shop and then I was out of a car for a week.
Yeah.
So just considering the impact of a particular failure on your customer, like when it does break, and making that as easy as possible, whether it's your service that you decide to set up or your customer service or how you fix it or the repair parts, how easy it is to replace, you know, all those mm-hmm. kind of decisions matter and should factor into your reliability setting.
That's right. And it's definitely, if they just say, well, it's only got a 1-year warranty, it's like, point them at this episode. that's a big part of it. But anyway, it's one of those things that, yeah, we don't have a formula for this. We don't have an equation. You might actually have to talk to the marketing department and encourage them to go find out If you get the right people on that team, they'll go, oh, great, field research. We get to go outside. They might go do the work for you. Wow. Yet it is critical to get it right, in my opinion. And you ignore it at your own peril. You may win, you may not, but understanding it as well as you can helps you guide your design decisions so that you're not inadvertently really upsetting, angering. What's the word for when you're angry, hungry, hangry?
Hangry.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. You know, I'm not sure how to change that into reliability, but the idea is the same, is that.
Rangry? Yeah. That doesn't, it's not so smooth as hangry.
No, it's clever marketing people. But the idea is yeah, you got to pay attention to it. And we've outlined a handful of different considerations for it. And your industry will probably have a unique set of things that influence your customers' expectations. And I found that simply asking them will get you an answer, and it may not be correct.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's a little more nuanced to get a good read on what's the expectations. And it's got to make sense for your business and in the long term. And if you're trying to maximize profit by selling new products every year, but everybody expects them the last 5 years, they're not coming back. It costs too much. So anyway, if you've got questions on this or you've got different expectations of what one of our episodes should be about, how's that for a segue?
It's pretty smooth. Smoother than hangry.
Yeah, rangry. Yeah. Give us a shout. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and you can find a couple of ways to get in touch with us. Diana and I and the other hosts are available through LinkedIn and our About pages. And we expect you to give us a question or a comment or an idea for a future episode. We'd look forward to having you as part of the show by joining the conversation. So please do. And so I'm not going to do another expectation line here, but I think we're about at the end of this episode here, Diana.
Yeah, I think so too.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the discussion, and I look forward to our next discussion. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, me too. Bye, Fred.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.